Welcome to the podcast where we answer the question, that's healthy? This is your host, Hope Brandt. Social media has really done a doozy on our perception of health and wellness, and I want to help set the record straight. Quick fixes and fad diets? Unachievable beauty standards? Extreme fitness challenges that leave you more broken than when you started? I'll pass. Taking ownership of your choices, treating your body and mind with respect, filling your life with things and people that lift you up instead of tear you down. Yeah, that's healthy. And that's exactly what you'll find here. Let's start the show. Welcome back to the show. Today we are going to be talking about tracking macros. But this is not your mama's way of tracking macros. We're going to be talking about doing the simplified version that I teach all of my clients. If you are a client of mine, I will probably be directing you to this podcast to give it a listen if we do decide to set up macro numbers for you. So if you're one of my clients listening to this, welcome. So glad you're here. And sup to everybody else. Okay, let's talk about macro tracking. And first, of course, have to give the general disclaimer that tracking macros is not for everyone. And that is totally okay. If tracking macros is not for you, there is no one way to see progress or make progress, especially for those with a history of kind of falling into disordered eating patterns or eating habits when you are tracking. If tracking triggers any type of disordered eating patterns for you or diet anxiety, really restrictive food rules, then tracking is probably not for you, and it's not something that you need to force. But for others, macro tracking can be a really great tool to not only increase food and nutrition knowledge, but help us do the most efficient things we can to inch us closer to the goals that we have. Macro tracking is really, really handy for being able to see efficient body composition or body recomposition results when the macronutrient ratio of your diet really matters. Improving your body composition, losing fat mass, and maintaining or gaining muscle mass does require that you are reaching a certain protein threshold. So if you're only tracking calories, that is not going to account for making sure that your macronutrients are distributed appropriately within your diet to make sure that your body composition is doing things we want it to do. Losing weight is not synonymous with body recomposition. Losing weight is kind of the blanket umbrella term, just like counting calories is kind of the blanket umbrella term, but losing weight does not specify where that weight is coming from, and counting calories does not account for your macronutrient distribution. So when your goal is body recomposition, we need to be a little bit more detailed with what we're doing with our diet, and that is where tracking macros can come in. It's also really helpful for, again, just gaining food knowledge that can help you paint a more realistic picture of what's actually going on in your diet. So if you're experiencing really low energy, if you're experiencing poor performance in your workouts, maybe you're not eating enough carbohydrates, and you wouldn't know that unless you were tracking macros instead of just calories as a whole, right? So counting macros gives us a little bit more information, actually a lot of bit more information under this overall umbrella of calorie counting. So classically, when people talk about counting macros or tracking their macros, they're talking about tracking protein, carbohydrates, and fats. Those are our three macronutrients. Those are the nutrients that yield calories in our body. So we eat protein, carbohydrates, and fats to produce energy in our body. Those are the nutrients that have calories. All of the other nutrients, looking at micronutrients like vitamins and minerals, those things are super, super important to our diet. They are, you know, essential in some cases, in a lot of cases, but those nutrients do not yield energy. The three big macronutrients, or the three macronutrients, protein, carbohydrate, and fat, those are the foods that give our bodies energy. Energy is calories. Calories are energy. When we're talking about food, calories are just a measure of the energy in that food. So protein, carbohydrates, and fats give our bodies energy. That's typically what we look at when we're tracking macros. If we are tracking our intake of protein, carbohydrates, and fats, we are tracking calories because those are the three nutrients that make up every calorie in the universe, is made up of either protein, carbs, or fats. So if we're tracking our intake for those three things, we're also tracking our overall calorie intake. We're just being a little bit more detailed and looking at where those calories are coming from. The way that I teach tracking macros is we have an overall calorie goal. Then we track our protein and we track our fiber, which is a little bit different, right? Fiber isn't a macronutrient. Fiber is a type of carbohydrate. But I find that tracking these three numbers does a lot in moving us toward the goal of being able to track and gain information without making it this chase for perfection, which is not only unachievable, but it's truly not necessary to be able to see results when we're tracking macros. So the reason why I pick these three numbers instead of tracking protein, carbs, and fats, first of all, our overall calorie intake, that is going to be the most important thing when we're looking at creating a caloric deficit. We want to make sure we're in an appropriate calorie range. And to an extent, like I was talking about the difference between weight loss and body recomposition, weight loss is not synonymous with fat loss, but both of those things must occur in a calorie deficit. So if we have the goal of fat loss, then we need to be in at least a mild calorie deficit. This is why we track calories. Even if we don't have a goal of body recomposition and we just want to see kind of where we are and make tweaks and improvements in our diet and our macronutrient distribution to make sure that we feel our best, are getting enough energy throughout the day, can perform well in our workouts, can prevent brain fog, making sure we're eating enough protein to maintain the muscle that we do have. Tracking our calories is still important there because we want to make sure that we're in an appropriate range for maintenance, right? Knowing your maintenance calories, I think, is a really underrated piece of knowledge. You don't have to track macros only with the goal of losing weight. Tracking macros can just give you a wealth of knowledge in knowing where your maintenance point is as well. So when we're looking at this calorie range, and I give a range, I don't give a specific target because, again, tracking macros does not require perfection. It requires that we're in a range that will produce results. So we can fall anywhere within that range as long as our average is equaling an intake versus output that will produce the results we're looking for. So we track calories as the most important thing to know where our intake needs to be to produce the result that we want to see. Whether that is losing weight, which would require a caloric deficit, whether that is maintaining our weight, which would require eating in a range that would, where our intake would equal our output as far as calories burned, or if we want to gain weight, that would look like eating in a caloric surplus, where we're eating a little bit more than the calories we burn per day. That is why our calorie range is important. We need to know where we are in order to produce the outcome we're looking for in as far as losing, maintaining, or gaining weight. Secondly, we track this protein target because, like I was saying in the beginning, protein is essential for being able to maintain or gain muscle mass. Resistance training provides the stimulus for your muscles to grow, but if you're not eating enough protein, you don't have the building blocks to build or maintain that muscle. So we need to make sure that we're eating enough protein to at least maintain the muscle that we do have in order to produce a healthful body composition over time And if we're wanting to gain muscle, we probably need to eat even more protein than is required to just maintain the muscle that we do have. Protein is also very, very helpful in tracking macros, especially when we are looking to be in a caloric deficit, because protein is the most satiating macronutrient, meaning it keeps you the fullest for the longest amount of time, which can help you adhere to being in a caloric deficit. If you're feeling fuller longer and eating highly satiating foods, then that's going to help regulate your appetite to where you're not feeling ravenous all the time, even if you are in a slight caloric deficit. The other thing protein, not the other thing, protein does so many other things, but when we're looking at it through this lens, protein also has the highest thermic effect of food, which means your body burns the most energy as it's digesting and utilizing protein, which again can help create this caloric deficit that we're looking for just by changing the macronutrient profile of your diet. There's also a theory called the protein leverage theory that states your appetite will not regulate until you reach a certain threshold protein each day. So it doesn't matter if you're way overshooting your calories, your body will continue to ask for food and produce those hunger hormones until you reach a certain protein threshold. So prioritizing protein in your diet, again, can help regulate your hunger cues, can help regulate your hunger hormones, and let your body know that, hey, we're safe. We are not in danger of starvation. We're not in danger of not getting enough of this essential nutrient. Your body needs essential amino acids that you have to get from food. So making sure you're eating a high protein diet can go a long way in helping your body know that it's safe and therefore regulate your hunger hormones and your appetite. Okay. The third thing that we track is fiber. And again, this is not a macronutrient. It is a type of carbohydrate. So carbohydrate would be one of the macronutrients, right? And fiber is just a type of carbohydrate. We have sugar, starch, and fiber. Those are the three types of carbohydrate. And then there are little subcategories of each of those things as well. So we track fiber because it is a very, very important nutrient. Fiber is inherently healthful and beneficial to us. It decreases probability for developing all sorts of diseases, heart disease, diabetes, and it also helps create the volume that we're looking for in a diet, especially when we're looking to be in a caloric deficit. So foods that are high in fiber are going to be high in volume, and they're also going to be high in a lot of other micronutrients, which I love the kind of crossover and synergy of nutrition, because if you focus on fiber intake, that means you're probably focusing on eating fruits and vegetables and beans and legumes and nuts and seeds. And those things are so nutrient dense that they are an incredible addition to your diet, even if you weren't trying to get enough fiber. I also look at fiber and I set this fiber target for my clients because I look at it as kind of the safeguard to our diet to make sure our diet quality is still up to snuff, even when we're tracking macros. So I don't know how long you guys have been kind of around the macro tracking culture, but it used to get a lot of flack. There was a kind of movement called If It Fits Your Macros. And the idea was that you can fit anything in to your day if it fits your macros. So you could eat, you know, pizza and then guzzle a couple of protein shakes. And technically, that could hit your macros for the day, right? That could help you hit your protein, your fat, and your carbohydrate targets. But what that doesn't look at is diet quality. So instead of just tracking fat and carbohydrates, we ditch those numbers entirely, and we're just looking at overall calories, protein, and this fiber target, which ensures we're still reaching for the high-quality, nutrient-dense foods that will improve our health overall, completely separate from any sort of body recomposition or weight loss goal. Okay, so why don't fat and carbohydrate numbers matter? Okay, they don't not matter. But they are much, much less important overall than these three targets of calories, protein, and fiber. I'm not saying that fat and overall carbohydrates are not important. They absolutely are. But these are not the macronutrients that most people struggle with when we're looking at improving the macronutrient distribution of our diet. Most people come in and they are eating way, way, way more fat than they think they are. That has been my experience. That has been the experience of the vast majority of my clients who start tracking macros. So fat is not something that we normally need to work on including more of in our diet. Of course, there are outliers in this, and we do want to look at the quality of the fats that we're adding to our plate. But these fats and then overall carbohydrates kind of fall within the energy, or do fall within the energy category of the PEC plate framework, protein, energy, and color. So this energy category, fat and carbohydrates, it really doesn't matter how much of your diet is made up of either of those things. As long as you're staying within your overall calorie range, you're hitting your protein and you're hitting your fiber. Because again, most people are not lacking fat or carbohydrates in their diet. So when we come in and we start tracking macros and we're looking at improving the macronutrient ratio of our diet, that looks mainly like increasing our protein intake to displace some of the calories that had previously been taken up by fat and carbohydrates. So we're not just looking at adding a bunch of protein to our diet, right? We're looking at creating a high protein diet, which means we're eating within a certain caloric range, and a certain percentage of those calories are coming from protein, and the rest are coming from fat and carbohydrates. So typically when I set macronutrient targets, or when I set this protein target for my clients, we're looking at 25 to 30% of our overall intake coming from protein. And then looking at dividing the rest of that, so about 60% between fat and carbohydrates overall. So we do definitely want to make sure we are getting enough healthy fats in our diet. And the kind of minimum thresholds that I set for both of these targets are, you know, at least 55 to 60 grams of fat and at least 130 grams of overall carbohydrates, fiber included in that number. You know, those are the minimums that I look for, assuming that if you are hitting only the minimum of fat intake, your carbohydrate intake is going to be a lot higher, right? Or if you're hitting only the minimum of 130 grams of carbohydrate intake, your fat is probably a little bit higher that day. Fat and carbohydrates overall, they can vary from day to day. It does not matter what those overall numbers are, as long as you're getting the minimum intake required for just good health and you're staying within your calorie range. So this is why they're kind of lumped into that energy category in the PEC plate. And we don't focus on those two macronutrients specifically when we are tracking. So this is my simplified version of tracking macros, looking at overall calories, protein, and fiber. How do you reach this number? Well, if you're one of my clients, I have set that up for you based on your data and talking about what your goals are and talking about what is doable and achievable for you. So if you're with me, then we've had these discussions and or we're setting these initial targets, and then we'll continue to tweak as needed based on what is doable for you, what results we're seeing, and what the data is telling us. If you're not one of my clients and you're wondering how to go about doing this, go to an online calculator and figure out your BMR and your total daily energy expenditure. Your total daily energy expenditure estimate will be the calories that you need to consume to maintain your weight. This is an estimate though, right? So if you're eating within, so it's going to give you a number. I would say set your target 100 calories lower than that number and 100 calories higher than that number. So it gives you a 200 calorie range to fall within. If you are eating within that range and you're maintaining your weight, you know, outside of normal scale fluctuations, then the estimate was accurate. And that is your maintenance point. If you find that you're losing weight at that point, then the estimate was a little off and you're actually in a little bit of a deficit. If you find yourself gaining weight, then the estimate was off in the other direction and you're actually in a little bit of a surplus. So know that those numbers, even when I calculate it, it's based on just anthropometric data, your height, your weight, your gender, your weight loss history. An online calculator cannot take your history into account. Only a real person can do that. But even with having more of an in-depth analyzation for those numbers, it's still just an estimate. So it does take some tweaking. It takes some guessing and checking to really find if we are actually in a deficit or if we are actually at maintenance or if we're actually in a little bit of surplus. Once you find your BMR and your total daily energy estimates, if you want to be in a caloric deficit, subtract 300 to 400 calories from your total daily energy expenditure estimate and make sure that you're still about 300 calories above your BMR estimate. Your basal metabolic rate estimate, that is the energy that your body is burning completely at rest if you were in a coma in the hospital. We do not ever want to dip our calories lower than that number. That's when we're going to see hormonal disruption and our body's getting to the point where they start issuing the processes of metabolic adaptation, which means it's lowering your metabolic rate to conserve energy. And we don't want that to happen. The goal is always to be eating as much as possible while producing the results you want to see. So once you find your total daily energy expenditure and your BMR, you're going to set your calorie range for whatever your goal is. And then know that you'll continue to have to assess what the data is telling you to make tweaks, you know, to lower your intake or increase your intake from that point based on what your goal is. For your protein target, look at your current body weight. Multiply your current body weight by 0.75 and 1. That is your protein target range. I normally make it a much smaller range for my clients. We give a 15 or 10 gram range for them to fall within, but somewhere within that 0.75 to 1 gram per pound of body weight is going to be adequate for getting enough protein to at least maintain the muscle mass that you do have in conjunction with resistance training. So there are lots of considerations for setting a more precise target within that range based on what your goals are, what your history is, what is doable and achievable for you, where you are on the scale of body composition improvements that you're looking to make. If you're very lean, then your target's probably going to be closer to the 1 gram per pound of body weight target. If you have a lot of excess fat mass to lose, then you're definitely going to be closer to setting your target to that 0.75 range. For your fiber target, we're looking for 14 grams of fiber per 1,000 calories that you're eating. That does not have to be exact, but that is the basic recommendation for fiber intake. That's for women, is a little bit higher for men. So typically I set our target at 25 to 35 grams per day and look to fall somewhere within that target range. If you have not ever tracked your fiber before, I promise you this will be the most eye-opening thing in this entire process. Is looking at your fiber intake and realizing how much lower it is than you think it is. Or at least that's the case for most people, myself included, when I started tracking fiber. So that is how we go about simplified macro tracking. And again, there's many little caveats within this process of setting it up to be the most applicable for you. If you're one of my clients, then we're taking all of these things into account. But if you're looking to, you know, DIY, then know that it's just going to take some time and some curiosity and playing with not only what your ranges should be to produce the results that you want to see, but playing with what is actually doable and achievable for you so that you can maintain consistency for a long enough period of time to see results. All right. I hope this was helpful and we will be back next week. Same time, same place. Thanks for joining the pod. But wait! Before you go, I'd love it if you'd share this episode with a friend who needs it. And to make sure we stay connected, find me on social media at hopewell_health. Or for more information about my nutrition coaching services, check out my website, hopewellhealth.online. And always remember, you are smart, capable, and talented. You have what it takes. I'm just here to educate and encourage you along the way. Catch you next time.